Okay. Church council meeting after church, if we get the last council member we need here or not, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, that's half the plan. Bible study Wednesday night, yes, James chapter 4. Come join us. And good time. Next Sunday is our monthly food and fellowship fair. It's not in your bulletin. Somebody forgot to put it in the bulletin. Write it on there now so you don't forget. Get your pen out. Write it on your bulletin for next Sunday. Food and fellowship fair. All right. Ooh, thank you. Thank you for the heads up. All right, today's the day. Maybe that's why they're not here. Okay, and out there on the table, still are three left, I think, of the changelopes. You want to say something?
And you can bring them back like the first Sunday in November.
They've extended the time period to return those. This is a new program. New program where families are opening up their homes to children that are in a crisis situation. Very significant ministry, and they're needing some funding for that. So there's your chance. Okay. And in front of your bulletin, the Word became flesh from John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Are we thankful for that? This morning we come to celebrate and worship the one who came to bring the light into the world. All right, let's bow our heads as we begin. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for your love. Again, Lord, we come with rejoicing into your house. We come just as we are. Thankful, Lord, that we are free to come as we are. And by your grace and your mercy and us sharing that together, we are united in your spirit. We pray, Lord, as always, that you'll be honored and glorified in our midst today. Touch each heart and mind with your word and your spirit. Help us, Lord, to be open and receptive that we can honor and glorify you in all of it. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Stand and greet someone you haven't had. A very little light and make it a great light for someone else. Only God can do that. The older I get, the more I understand that. And I'm thankful for that. Little as much when God is in it. Okay, so we're back to 2020 Vision in 2020, and we've been kind of slowly making our way through the Bible and lifting up passages that help us to see what 2020 Vision might be, and I mean that pun as I've shared it. I don't know if you remember back in the beginning of the year when we started in Genesis, it was Genesis gleanings. We're kind of connecting Genesis with the Gospels today. Ah, she got it corrected. That's good. It used to be gleaming. Got that corrected anyway. It was gleaming to begin with. So we're going to glean some gems from the Gospels concerning...
I like gleaming.
Excuse me?
I like gleaming.
You like gleaming? Can you change it? Can you put it back to gleaming? What is gleaming a word? Gleaning, gleaming gospel gems. How about that? Okay, all right. We'll put them all in there. I'm sure. Sorry, I didn't think of that earlier. See?
Gleaning gospel, gleaming
gems.
No, no. I like the gleaming before the. Anyway, okay. See, doesn't it just get better when you kind of share together and share your little bit of light with someone who's a little dim sometimes? So here it is. We're getting the Gospels, and it's actually going to be today and next week both, because there's too many gems in the Gospels to highlight as far as this 2020 vision thing. We're going to share highlights, and I do mean that, the pun, highlights of the light that we're going to receive from the Gospels in this as well. We're going to hopefully be able to see God, see Jesus, see ourselves, see others, see life in general, in a more clear way as we get it from the Gospels. And of course, Jesus is kind of the focus of that as well, and we will attempt to make applications to our own life in this as always. Going to be going chronologically through the Gospels as much as we can You know, they go kind of back and forth a little bit as you put them together chronologically. But it all begins in John chapter 1. We've read a portion of that from our bulletin this morning, but Alan gets, I guess I better make the first point. That would be, what should we have Logos light? What is Logos?
Word.
It's Greek. It's the Greek word for word, Logos, yes. Also, the mind of God is a way you can translate it as well. Okay, Alan, John chapter 1, please.
In the beginning was the Word.
But it's all.
Corresponds, with the Genesis account. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John kind of latches onto that and introduces the Logos, the Word of God, who created all things, the mind of God. Jesus can be seen in a number of ways as that part of God which not only created things, including light, but he himself became the light, the true light that comes into the world. And the world obviously was not able, and we still have a little struggle understanding or comprehending this light. It is so beyond our comprehension. And yet we're privileged to receive some of that light. Came into the world that he created, and yet the world didn't know him. How bizarre is this? And John says, the darkness has not overcome or understood the light. And so we're still today trying to comprehend and understand this light. We're trying to have 20/20 vision concerning this light. God helps us only as we open our hearts to him can we receive, can we understand, can we comprehend. Those who live in darkness, it is impossible for them to understand or comprehend what this light is about. Once we get just a little glimpse of it, and we keep our hearts open to more and more and more of this little light that grows, then we come to understand and experience God in greater ways. We recognize him because we have received him and we know him, we experience him. Jesus is the one who's made this possible. The Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only. When we see Jesus, we see God. Little boy, I've said this many times, little boy once said, Jesus is the best picture God ever painted of himself. And so we should remember that. Let me see Jesus only. Because when we see Jesus only, we see God. We see everything in a clear way. This is why Jesus came. No one never seen God, but God, the one and only, came, who is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. And we get to experience that divine nature ourselves. When we receive Jesus, we receive him. We see God for who he is. We see all of the things that God offers to us. It's only one way. Only one way. Shall I say it again? Jesus said it. There's only one way to the Father. It's through him. So I hope that song we've already sang, Let Me See Jesus Only, is really our prayer. That's what we need to key on, focus on, when we see Jesus only. Logos light, that's where we begin. The second highlight is what we might call Simeon's what? Of course, Simeon's sight. Remember the story of Jesus, Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus to the temple to be dedicated. And we pick up the story there in Luke 2.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel."
Yeah. Simeon's sight. What? How is it possible that Simeon knew that this little baby was Jesus? How is it possible? Exactly. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what enabled Simeon to understand. He was waiting all this time. God had told him that he would be able to see the Messiah before he died. He's there looking, and he believed it. He received it because he believed it. Exactly. We must believe in order to receive those things that God promises to us. But he's looking, he's watching, and all of a sudden, there he is. The Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And he said, "I have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the sight of all nations, light to the Gentiles, glory to Israel." So how do we see? Can we have Simeon sight today? Is it possible for us, or is Simeon just one special person? No. For everybody, through the Holy Spirit. So we've got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit all working together in this. And so if we want to see God through Jesus, we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, and it will be done. Third highlight, what we might call fascinating fulfillment. Fascinating. That's fascinating. Fascinating fulfillment. We find this after Jesus was experienced his temptation in the wilderness and came back to Galilee in Luke chapter 4.
Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through all the countryside.
Sorry, Don, just a second. Is that on?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe a little closer. Sue's telling you to. Yeah.
He was teaching in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, and was, as was his custom, he stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
The eyes of everyone there were what? Fastened on him. What does it mean to be fastened on?
Not looking away.
Not looking away. You're fixed, fastened there. They can't help themselves. Here he is, quoting from the book of Isaiah, and declaring that this is me. And they're just... And it wasn't just that he claimed to be that. It was the authority with which he spoke. And we see that in a number of other places. The people were just captivated by the words of Jesus and the way that he said it, because, well, he was making himself real to them. They were fastened on him. Some of the things that he claimed would be fulfilled in his life from the prophet Isaiah are things that were specified in that song, the gospel that we sang earlier, recovery of sight to the blind. He's appointed me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim relief to the captives, the oppressed, all of this good stuff that the Lord offers to us. So what's the point for us then? How do we apply this to us? Here again, and I hope you don't get tired of me saying it, fix your eyes, fasten your eyes on Jesus. Only then will he be able to fulfill in your life and in our lives what he promised. He said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. Are we listening? Are we watching? If we're like them, the fulfillment is in the fastening upon Jesus. Highlight number four. Nathanael's nascent. What's nascent? Somebody define nascent for me. It's a good word, huh?
New.
Exactly. Birth, the beginning of something. Nathanael's nascent nod. Let's look at that in John chapter 1.
Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth." Asked, "Come and see," said Philip. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were under the fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus said, "You believe because I told you I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." He then added, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man."
Nathanael's nascent nod, that is the beginning of his nodding or giving assent to who Jesus claimed to be. They said, "Come see him." And even before he came, Jesus saw him from a distance, knew him, spoke his name. "How do you know me?" And Jesus said, "I saw you, and you're going to see what you're seeing now is only the beginning of what you're going to see. You'll see greater things than what you've already seen." It was just the beginning for Nathanael, and of course for all the other disciples and everyone, even us. There is a first time we see and understand who Jesus is. I've told you the story many times. My first memory in life is a nascent nod to Jesus. I found myself at the altar responding to an altar call at the age of 4, and that was just the beginning. From there, 63 years later, here I am seeing more and more of who Jesus is. All of us have a nascent moment when we first see and understand who Jesus is. The great thing is, that's not all of it. That's just the beginning. That's just a small part, and it can continue to grow. If what? Got to keep our eyes on him, got to keep looking, got to keep open. What we see at the beginning is not all of it, it's just a very small thing to begin with, and it grows and grows and grows and grows as we keep fixed, keep fastened on him. So that was Nathanael's experience, and encouraged us to know that there's more there for us. Maybe your nascent moment, it was years ago as well. Maybe it was fairly recent. It really doesn't matter. The point is, are we going to continue to keep our eyes fixed on him? Are we going to see greater things than what we've already seen? If we're like Nathanael, we will. Fifth highlight comes from Matthew, which is plank purity. Plank purity. Yes, it's there. Part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in chapter 5 and 7. Cheryl, please.
"Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye."
Yes. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they are the ones who will see God. So purity of heart is another essential in this whole matter of seeing with 20/20 vision. Purity of heart. And then Jesus goes on to say, we all have a little bit of a problem with this. Our heart's eyes are not pure most of the time. We got a big plank in there. We're trying to pull a speck out of someone else's eye when there's this huge plank. That's impurity. That's like a judgmental attitude toward someone. We have this, it's huge sometimes. And I think we all can identify, some of you are nodding your heads, that it's not pure when we have this attitude of judgment toward someone else. We can't see clearly. We can't help someone else because we can't hardly help ourselves. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you've got this huge plank in your eye, you're not loving yourself very well. You're not pure in heart, and you're not going to be able to help love somebody else. Pardon?
Because you're living in the flesh.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that's part of the flesh. And we all deal with it. I mean, we're all nodding our head because, yeah, I'm not pure in heart as much as I need to be. And so, therefore, I'm not able to see God clearly. I'm not able to see clearly enough to help somebody else. Got to remove the plank. Get the plank out of there, whatever it is, whatever it represents in your life. And then you'll be able to see God, Jesus, yourself, others, life in general more clearly. Plank, purity. Sixth highlight. Lamp, light. Lamp, light. Yep, we've dwelt on this a little bit this morning. Jesus continues in Luke chapter 11.
No one lights a lamp and puts it in a place where it will be hidden or under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand so that those who come in may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eyes are healthy, your whole body also is full of light. But when they are unhealthy, your body also is full of darkness. See to it, then, that the light within you is not darkness. Therefore, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it dark, it will be just as full of light as when a lamp shines its light on you.
Okay, so we've sung about it, this little light of mine, lamp within us, hide it under a bushel, no, all of that. A similar application to what we just talked about as far as the plank purity. Our eyes must be pure, the light within us. And John says, or Jesus says here in Luke, that see to it, see to it then that the light within you is not darkness. What's that about? The light within us is a dark light, which is of the flesh again. Then we don't have anything to offer. But if that light within me is the true light, is the light of Jesus, if I have truly received that and I'm letting it shine in me, then I've got something to offer to others. There's another hymn we could have sang. Shine, shine in my heart, I pray. Shine out through my life each day. Sun of righteousness, light of truth, shine in thy glory in me. So when we let that light shine in us, it shines out to others. That's the lamp light that we can offer to others. Seventh highlight, cherub conception. Does that mean we're going to give birth to a little angel or what? Conception. Does that mean giving just a baby in a womb? What else can it mean besides the physical birth? Beginning again. Okay. Pardon?
A thought,
yes. To conceive a thought as well as maybe a little baby. So it's being able to give birth to a thought. And it's going to be a cherub thought that we're going to read about here in Matthew chapter 18.
See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven.
And
at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it.
Yes. So it's not the wise and the learned, it's not the kings and all the rulers of the world that are the ones that are able to see the things of the Lord or see spiritual eternal things. It's the little ones. It's the cherubs. They've got angels watching over them. Don't despise them. One way we despise them is to think, well, we're going to grow up and be so wise and learned that we don't have to be like little children anymore. It's the opposite in the kingdom of heaven. That's the great flip around, one of the things that is opposites in our minds. Learn from the little children. What is it about a child, again, that is so perceptive to eternal things? Trust, innocence, being able to just grasp, just soak it in, right? Without having to analyze and compare it to other things in the world and just beat it to death with our reasoning. And just a simple trust. And Jesus said, unless you become like these little ones, you're not going to enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to see the things of God. You will not be able to conceive of what God has for us. So it's a cherub conception that we're encouraging ourselves in today. Not only fastening onto it, but having the innocence of a child. The capacity. A child has a lot more capacity to accept and believe some things that are impossible for us to believe sometimes. That's what we have to do in the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's 7 points. It should be enough. It's the perfect message. But I was feeling gracious, and I thought I'd just give you one little bonus because it's there, and it's got to be shared. And this from Zacchaeus, and this is a familiar story. Zacchaeus' zeal. We're going to end with Zacchaeus' zeal this morning. Luke chapter 19.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be a guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Okay, sing it with me. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. Wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today. For I'm going to your house today." Yes, Zacchaeus, what a good inspiration and example for us. You ever thought that maybe your shortcomings, he was a short, wee little man, your shortcomings kept you from seeing Jesus? You ever feel like you need to climb up a little bit from where you're at and make an effort to see Jesus, to get above the things of the world, to be able to see him? And then what happens when you do that? Jesus comes along and he says, he looks up. You think about Jesus looking up to us? We always think about looking up to Jesus, right? He's up there. He looks it up at us when we're like Zacchaeus, when we have that zeal, the desire, and we're going to do whatever is necessary to see him. If I got to climb up something, if I got to get up, the Lord's always looking up. I better get up like that. "Zacchaeus, what you doing up there?" "I just wanted to see you, Lord. I'm too short, you know, can't see the ground." Shortcomings. Not only was he physically short, but in the eyes of everyone else, he was short. He had a lot of shortcomings. Tax collector, despised sinner. Sometimes it's hard for us to get above what other people see in us, what they see, their attitudes toward us. Sometimes we get buried in that as well, and we can't get up high enough to see what God sees, where Jesus is looking. Jesus is not looking at all this garbage down here. He's looking up for someone who's up here looking for him. A lot of things we can take from Zacchaeus in order to have that same kind of zeal. Jesus is going to honor. This also is a son of Abraham. He is not despised in God's eyes. Do we know that God sees us differently than most everybody else? Even what we see ourselves, God doesn't see us that way. There are other songs like that we could have sang as well. I just want to encourage you to know, if you're really wanting to see Jesus, get above what maybe you think of yourself, what others think. Get your eyes above the things of the world. Get up here where Jesus looks, where Jesus is looking for you. And know that he's going to say to you, come on down. Let's get together. I want to go to your house. I want to spend some time with you. And then our hearts are going to change, and we're going to see this and that in our lives that needs to be changed. Do some recompense. Shannon is in the process of doing that right now. How glorious is that? She saw Jesus. Jesus saw her. They got together. They're doing their thing over there in Washington. And so I want us to end by just being like Zacchaeus, having that same zeal. All these highlights that we've received in Gospel Gems, to be able to see Jesus more clearly, to fix our eyes on him, to know that he's offering the same thing to us. And if you are feeling like you've got too many shortcomings, now is the time to stand up and say, nope, I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to get there where Jesus wants me to be, where he sees me. And so our prayer then becomes, Lord, shine your light on us that we may be saved. Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house because of what Zacchaeus did. He wants to say the same thing to you. And so our prayer again, Lord, shine your light on us that we may be saved. You want to receive that with me today? Let's stand, shall we? As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray here. truly is the prayer of our hearts this morning, Lord, that you would let your light shine on us. Let your grace fall on us. Your love.